from KQED.
This is the California Report. Good morning. I'm Danielle Venton. Large majorities of California voters support giving undocumented immigrants a pathway to citizenship and oppose constructing a border wall. How the state feels about sanctuary cities is a little more complicated. That's according to a poll released today by the Institute of Governmental Studies at UC Berkeley. Small majorities of voters either support or oppose sanctuary cities, depending on how the policy is framed in the question. Yesterday in Sacramento, the acting director of the U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, Tom Homan, got a taste of that division as he faced an angry crowd. It was one of Homan's first town hall forums since being appointed the country's leading immigration enforcement official. The California Report's Anna Tintakalis was there.
That's the sound of angry protesters outside yesterday's town hall forum. Inside, more jeering crowds.
United will never be divided.
Despite protesters screaming obscenities and calling him names, Homan tried to calm fears that ICE is now targeting so-called sensitive locations, places of worship, hospitals, and schools. He reiterated the top priority is deporting undocumented immigrants with criminal histories. That's why he says county jails and courthouses are not off limits.
Listen to me now. I don't want children not going to school. I don't want people not going to their doctor. I don't want people not going to church. That's why I'm explaining the way ICE conducts their operation in a target enforcement operation.
The event, put on by Sacramento County Sheriff Scott Jones, also got lawmakers like Senate President Kevin DeLeon to attend. Outside the town hall, he defended so-called sanctuary cities, which are refusing to cooperate with federal immigration agents.
Scores of cities and counties nationwide refuse to be strong-armed by the president. In California, we celebrate diversity. We don't ban it, we don't wall it off, and we don't deport it.
De Leon is pushing a bill that would make California a sanctuary state. For the California Report, I'm Anna Tintakalis.
California will have to forge its own path to meet its ambitious goals for renewable energy and lower auto emissions. The Trump administration's efforts to dismantle federal climate policy through executive orders like the one the president signed yesterday are not likely to change much in the state directly. But California can't really avoid the broader impact of the president's actions, says Max Aufhammer. He's a professor of environmental economics at UC Berkeley.
Whatever people do in Kentucky, Wyoming, Pennsylvania, or Beijing affects us here. So we can't put on our, we're California hat and we're just not going to worry about the rest of the world. Due to the global nature of this problem, we do have to worry about the rest of the world.
California is aiming to get half of its electricity from renewable sources by the year 2030. After months of keeping a pretty low profile, Hillary Clinton used a speech in San Francisco Tuesday to wade back into the political fray. KQED's senior editor for politics and government, Scott Schaefer, was there.
It was mostly a friendly crowd, thousands of professional businesswomen. The topic, breaking barriers for women. Clinton never mentioned Donald Trump by name, but she said she was ready to re-engage in politics.
Four words keep coming back to me. Resist, insist, persist, enlist.
The former Democratic presidential candidate also had tough words for Silicon Valley, where women still face persistent barriers to opportunity.
Women are hired at lower numbers in the tech industry and leave at more than twice the rate men do. And for women of color, the situation is even worse.
Clinton urged women to get involved in politics, including running for elected office, although that seems unlikely to be in her political future. For the California Report, I'm Scott Schaefer.
New proposed legislation seeks to reform the California bail system, which determines whether we hold or release the tens of thousands of people facing criminal charges each year. Earlier this week, we heard from Assemblyman Rob Bonta and State Senator Robert Hertzberg, who said they want to make the system more fair for low-income people. But KQED's Suki Lewis reports that bail agents think this is a costly idea.
The bill aims to move California away from a money-based bail system to what's called risk-based pretrial release. That's a mouthful. But the idea is that each defendant would be assessed for factors like criminal history or community ties that predict how likely it is that the person will show up to court or commit another crime. Reformers say this will cut jail populations and that it's fairer than the current system. But Corinne Rankin of the California Bail Agents Association says it will mean more people under supervision of law enforcement.
It's basically putting people on parole before they've been accused of a crime.
Rankin says part of what works about money bail is that bail agents don't have any stake in what the defendant did or didn't do.
It's beside the point. Our job is to make sure people go to court, and we do it well.
Rankin says the law is trying to solve a problem that doesn't exist. But bail advocates say waiting in jail for trial because you can't afford bail can upend your life. For the California Report, I'm Suki Lewis.
Arts advocates are pressing California lawmakers to maintain the same level of support for the arts in the new state budget as they did last year. KQED's Cy Musica reports that the pressure is on with the Trump administration's plans to kill art funding in the federal budget.
Last year's state budget provided the arts with a one-time bump of almost $7 million. But Governor Jerry Brown's January budget proposal was missing the extra money.
We were disappointed but not surprised.
Richard Stein is president of California Arts Advocates and CEO of Arts Orange County.
Because, Governor Brown's approach to budgeting is very prudent, and he would like to see the legislature take the lead on things like funding for the Arts Council.
So Stein is leading the lobbying effort to get state lawmakers to maintain or improve on last year's arts funding, which came to about $18 million. Stein and his arts advocates colleagues delivered their plea yesterday in the form of a letter to key lawmakers overseeing the California Arts Council in the state Senate and Assembly.
They're all very supportive, but there's lots of competition for funding.
Stein's letter notes that President Trump has proposed cutting all federal arts funding next year, which would mean a loss of close to $10 million in California. An assembly subcommittee voted yesterday to add back about two-thirds of the arts funding cut by the governor. Lawmakers won't finalize their budget until mid-June. For the California Report, I'm Cy Musiker.
Let's stay with the arts. Yosemite National Park has inspired countless painters and photographers. Now, the famous LA-based visual artist David Hockney brings his take on the iconic landscape to Silicon Valley with 28 images that were all produced on an iPad. KQED's Rachel Miro explains.
David Hockney first built his enormous reputation in the 1960s with pop art, especially his paintings of LA's sunlit backyard swimming pools. Over the decades since, he's enthusiastically embraced all sorts of new technologies: Polaroid photographs, fax machines, computers, and as soon as it came out, the iPad.
I thought it was marvelous.
Why?
Well, it's literally at your fingertips. I mean, that's all you need. You don't even need a pot of water. You don't need a brush.
In David Hockney's Yosemite suite, the colors are bright and saturated. You feel like you could faceplant into the fluffy, flower-covered mountainsides. Trees rise up like the columns of an open, sunlit Gothic cathedral. Ryan Reynolds is an assistant professor of art at Santa Clara University.
And these new digital paintings take what could be seen as these postcard views and turn it into something that you want to contemplate and think about.
The result is still recognizably Yosemite, even though the drawings look nothing like the photographs you've seen. For the California Report, I'm Rachel Miro in Palo Alto.
Support for the California Report comes from Robotham International, providing strategic tax, accounting, and business advisory services to global families, entrepreneurs, and venture-backed companies. Robotham.com. Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose family foundation advances the wiser use of energy and natural resources on a planet where everything is connected. On the web at theschmidt.org. And the James Irvine Foundation, with information about the 2018 James Irvine Foundation Leadership Awards, available at irvine.org.
And that's the California Report for Wednesday, March 29th, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Danielle Venton.